We're in the book of Acts. Acts chapter
20. And we have a handout of the message. So Acts chapter 20. Verse 13 and following. Acts chapter 20. So we're going through the book of Acts. The Bible Baptist Church. We study the Bible.
Amen.
You want to find out about other things in life, there's other places you can go, but here we teach the Bible, we study the Bible, we want to learn about the Bible. The Bible has been given to us by the Lord through several centuries here, obviously, and He's inspired it, He's preserved it, and He's given it to us, and we have legitimate translations, such as King James Translation, to understand the Bible truth in English, and so we're thankful for what He's done for us, so we want to have a great appreciation. The Bible is what changes lives. Mm-hmm. It's alive, as it were. It's alive. It brings about the new birth. Mm. All right, so Acts chapter 20, we're looking in verse 13. 13 through 17. So you follow along as I read these few verses here. Acts chapter 20, verse 13 through 17. 20, verse 13. And we went before to ship and sailed in the Azos, there intending to take in Paul, for so he had appointed, minding himself to go afoot. And when he met with us at Azos, he took him in, and we took him in and came to Mytilene. And we sailed thence and came to the next day over against Chios. And the next day we arrived in Samos and tarried in Trogyllium. And the next day we came to Miletus. For Paul had determined to sail by Ephesus because he would not spend the time in Asia. For he hasted, if it were possible for him, to be in Jerusalem the day of Pentecost. And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. Our Father, we pray that you bless us. We thank you for the privilege to be in the house of God today and to have the Word of God with us. And we pray the Spirit of the Lord will begin to deal with our hearts and lives, help us to understand biblical truth here, and make it applicable in our lives. Pray that our lives may be changed. Pray that you use Scripture. We thank thee for all that we have in Christ, the great blessings we have in this land and in life in general, to know the Savior and walk with Him. We pray that you'll bless us now. We pray, for we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So in the section here, we realize that Paul was had left Jerusalem, and he went up to Antioch. He sent out from Antioch, and then he went into Asia, modern-day Turkey, and then from modern-day Turkey or Asia, he went over into Europe, into Greece, and there he ministered all along the way. He preached the gospel, won people to Christ, he got them baptized, he organized churches, and so he's the early church planter. Through his instrumentality, you see, the gospel message came from Jerusalem and ended up in Europe, and from Europe, in due time, the gospel came to North America. And so, certainly, when we see Him in heaven, we who know Him as Savior, the Lord as Savior, we can be thankful to Him and to Luke and some of these individuals who risked their lives.
Amen.
To get the truth in the different places of the world, and eventually, the Word of God got into North America, and so this is where many American Christians have been saved here in North America. And so it's through this instrumentality, and so this is important. This is, how did the gospel get into Europe and then into America? Well, this is some of the history inspired in Scripture. So the Bible didn't just drop out of heaven. We have an individual. We have several individuals. In fact, Paul had Luke, who was writing this, and he had seven mighty men who were going with him. And so as they traveled, they risked all types of things as we see here in Scripture. So Luke is the writer here. So Paul had already started the church in Ephesus. So Ephesus would be in Asia. along the west coast there of Asia. He started a church there, and he comes through once again and is with the disciples there, a church there at Ephesus, and he ministers there. And he sees this and has this miracle occurs when a young man fell out of the loft and was found dead. And so Paul picked him up, raised him up, and the Lord used him as the Lord gave the apostles the ability to raise the dead. Now, that doesn't occur today, but that occurred in the first century as signs for the Jews primarily. All right, so we picked this up in verse 13. And so reading from the commentary on this, I'll give you some details here, but this helps us understand. So one of the things we need to try to comprehend is the Lord Jesus Christ came 2,000 years ago. He died on the cross for our sins. He raised up men who were saved, and they began to minister 2,000 years ago. And today, we have the results of that.
Amen.
We have the results of that. Of course, the Lord has preserved his words through the centuries, supernaturally. But the Lord used individuals, and so this should be a challenge for us. That are we willing to give our life over to the Lord to be used any way he wants, in spite of the possible danger that could come? So anyway, let's look here at my commentary on this. So Luke the physician, Paul had a traveling doctor with him. And anyway, pulled out his travel logbooks. So the book of Acts, you might say, is Luke's travel logbook. So remember, as a physician, he liked details. So you go into your doctor and he asks all types of details. How old are you? How long have you had this affliction? What about your parents? Where do you live? What's your diet? I mean, all types of details. I mean, when you go to see a doctor, he knows all about you. And that's the purpose of this, so he can treat you. So this is the sense of Acts, the book of Acts and the Gospel of Luke. So in these two books, the physician Luke wrote more words in these two books than Paul wrote in all 14 of his letters. So this is a very exhaustive book by Luke the physician. Anyway, he pulled out his travel logbook and gave details of the next events of Paul. Paul wanted to arrive in Jerusalem for Pentecost. So remember earlier at Pentecost, Peter preached the gospel message. 3,000 were saved, primarily Jews. They were saved. And so Paul wanted to go back to Jerusalem for the Jewish holiday of Pentecost, even though the cross brought all that to an end. And he wanted to preach to the Jews there in Jerusalem. So he wanted to arrive there. So the dating of this is about A.D. 57. So if the Lord Jesus died in A.D. 30, this is 27 years later that after Paul had been converted, Saul of Tarsus had been converted, now he's preaching about 27 years later, trying to plant churches in his journeys and so on. And he needed to travel from Miletus, that was on the coast, about 40 miles south of Ephesus, the church that he started. And he wanted to get to Jerusalem, and he'd have to cross the ocean there, get to Tyre on the coast, and then eventually get into Jerusalem. So this was at least a 600-mile trip on sea and land. So they weren't taking Ubers or anything like this. They had to take, they had to walk, they had to go by ship, they had to cross the ocean, and so many challenges in this. Now, along the way here, the next port was Zosis on the Asian coast, and so we see that Luke is giving some details here. So if you had a map, you could see some of this and all of this. But in this, we see in verse 13, we went before to ship and sailed to Zosis. This is around the coast area there. It's about a 24-mile trip from Azotus to Miletus. They're intending to take in Paul, for so he had appointed minding himself to go on foot. Paul wanted to walk alone. He wanted the other man to take the ship around the coast there, but he wanted to walk alone. So Paul left Luke and the delegation of seven Baptist mighty men. They sailed from Troas, about 24 nautical miles from Troas to Azotus. All right, so however, Paul wanted to walk alone. He wanted to walk alone. He wanted to be by himself. So for a 60-year-old man, so if this is A.D. 57, and he was presumably born about the time of the Lord, he'd been in his 60s by this time. For a 60-year-old man who had been stoned, remember he was stoned at Lystra, and when they stoned him, they took up stones and threw at him, and I believe they probably deranged his face, deformed his face being stoned there, but he still lived. He was left for dead, but he rose again and all that, or revived again. So he'd been stoned and beaten. He had the spiritual and physical wherewithal to walk the rocky road along alone, except for the Lord. So he wouldn't be alone with the Lord. And so this is important to him. So he needed time to assess his life. What's going on in my life? So we planted some churches here in Asia. I planted the Ephesian church, but I don't want to meet with the Ephesian church members. I want to meet with the elders. And then we went on over into Greece, and we planted a handful of churches there. But there at Thessalonica, the Jews riled things up here, and so I had to escape after three weeks there. And so he went to assess his life, his calling in life, his victories, and coming trials. Remember, he just raised that young man who fell off the loft three stories down, raised him back to life, and so on. So he's thinking about my life and what's going on in my life. And this is of great value for all of us. Why am I right today in Bible Baptist Church? Let me reflect on my life. However far back it goes. Maybe it goes back 60 years. Maybe it goes back almost 80 years. Or maybe it goes back only 20 or 30 years. But why are you here right now? Reflect on what brought you here. What do you think about? My childhood came up with my family, my childhood, and so on. Somewhere along the line, probably having different difficulties of life, as we all would. And I trusted in the Lord and Savior. And then as a Christian now, I've gone here, been here, and so on and so forth. So we started this church in 2009, so we didn't have a church here before that, although we were another area church. So what's my own history? Why am I here today? What's happened? We assess this. And along the way, What has happened here? I've had some challenges. I realize my calling in life. What's my calling in life? My calling in life now is to be a Christian who serves faithfully in a local church. That's my calling. So that's why I'm here. And so there's always a time for us to reflect on who am I right now? What am I doing right now? What's going on in my life? How did I get here? Why am I in church here on Sunday today? We reflect on that. So his calling, his victories, his coming trials. And so he had about a 24-mile walk, so that probably might have taken, 3-4 hours maybe to walk, depends on how fast. But remember, he wasn't wearing Nikes, and it wasn't a smooth road. I mean, it was a rough road, so it'd take him a while, but he's reflecting on that. So, as an example, I've mentioned some of this, but about a year ago in August, I flew to Vietnam. So, as I sat on that airplane for about 16 hours or so on, I'm reflecting, what in the world am I doing? I'm flying to Vietnam. So Vietnam, back in the 60s, from 63 when I graduated from high school, all the way to 70, Vietnam, the word Vietnam hung over my head. and my wife and I knew I might be inducted at any point. So, so now, Vietnam was not a good word in my vocabulary. I didn't like to hear it. Had two friends, two men about my age at 18, 19, 20, who went over there and were killed almost immediately. So I knew the danger. And so now I've been asked to go over to Vietnam to minister the Word of God, help teach a module and so on. So I had time to assess my life, my calling, maybe the victories and so on, the coming trials. What should I expect when I get over there? I mean, so I get over there to Hanoi, and of course it's a modern city now. We met in 26th floor of a skyscraper there, but we had to have a secret meeting, you know. We couldn't let people know. We couldn't carry our Bibles in public and so on. But we all ought to have that time in our life when we reflect and look back, just like Paul did. So he's thinking, what's going on in my life? See, what's going on in my life? And what's the Lord want me to do? So he'd been successful in planting churches and so on, but along the way, he was beat up pretty bad. And so he had to reflect on some of these things. He had not forgotten, reading further here, that God called him to go to the Gentiles. Wait a minute, I'm a Jew. You want me to go to Gentiles? And kings, and even Jews. So this was his calling, Acts chapter 9. And so as he determined to do this, no doubt his face was set like a flint. Mm-hmm. Set like a flint. Now, the scripture doesn't say that, but scripture does tell us in Isaiah 50, verse 7, the Lord Jesus' face was set like a flint when he went to Jerusalem and went to the cross. Mm-hmm. He was determined. Are we determined to fulfill the word or the Lord's will in our life? Is our face set like a flint to do the Lord's will? Or are we easily given up and we quit? We quitters, or are we going to continue on in the Lord, the Lord's will? And so we need to realize our calling in life is to serve the Lord, and he could come back at any time and examine our lives, so we want to be faithful to him. And sometimes there's major, major challenges to be faithful to the Lord. I mean, who puts challenges in our life? Right. The Lord does. Right. To examine us. We might say in our heart, maybe as a younger person, I will follow the Lord. I will follow the Lord wherever he leads. That's why I like the song, I will go where you want me to go, dear Lord. Until I was told or asked to go to Vietnam, I'm thinking, wait a minute, is that my favorite song anymore or not? But so are we that determined to do the Lord's will? And so he was determined. So as Paul anticipated preaching in Jerusalem, he wanted to get to Jerusalem, but he knew there'd be danger because he's a member of the Sanhedrin. There's good evidence. He cast his vote against the Christians. When did he cast his vote? He had a literal vote he cast. The only place he did that was in the Sanhedrin. Yeah. So anyway, that's in Acts chapter 26. But so going back to Jerusalem, he would now be considered by the Pharisees as an apostate. You dare come around here, you betrayer. And they hated him. That's why the Jews followed him. They hated him because they considered him a betrayer. And he was a significant individual. So after the 20-mile hike, he met with the brethren at Azotus. So he walked. They went on a ship and boarded the ship to go to the island of Lesbos. So Lesbos is right off the coast there. And, of course, later on, because of the wickedness and the matriarchy in Lesbos, the island, we get the word lesbian from that. But anyway, he went to the island. Then the chief city of the island was Telian, which had a harbor and a background of mountains. So he leaves one area, and now he's going into another area. And so he meets with them here in Matalian. And so this was the plan. Paul had a plan. But I want to walk, be by myself. be with the Lord. 3 or 4 hour walk. Now I'm going to meet up with them. All right, verse 15. And we sailed thence and came the next day over against Chios. And the next day we arrived at Samos and tarried at Trogolium. And the next day we came to Miletus. So he was to go to Miletus. It's off the coast, about 40 miles south of Ephesus, the church that he started. But remember, he's got a timeline. I need to get to Jerusalem by middle May, presumably, middle May. And so I've got about 50 days because he missed Passover. So 50 days later would be Pentecost. So he's got less than 50 days to get from Miletus to Jerusalem. And so he's got a time schedule. He doesn't want to miss Pentecost. Pentecost means 50 days. So that's the 50th day after 7 weeks of 49 days. So he's got a timeline. And so verse 15, exchanging his medical log for a nautical book, a log book. Luke recorded under inspiration. So remember, these words and these locations are under inspiration. We might say, those aren't important. I want to get on to the real theology of the book. Well, these words are inspired scripture, so they're important. Because here we have a detailed journey, and the Lord was leading him along the way. So I've got to go to this place, and this place, and this place. I can only spend so many days here, and so I've got to go here. And did the Lord want him there at Pentecost? Yes. Because this is where he was arrested. And this is where he eventually made his trip to a Roman prison. The Lord had a plan for him. And so the Lord orchestrated these things. But Paul was the human element in recognizing a calendar. So the Lord helped them through the calendar. But he also had to show up every day, you know, and move forward. So under inspiration, he gives a navigational route of the ship. The ship had 4 stops as it sailed by day and stopped overnight. So we presume that. They sailed from Azos to Lebos, around the southeast tip of Lesbos, for about a 50-mile nautical trip to Chios, and then on to Samos, and then 50 miles away under Trogilium to Miletus, which is about 40 miles south of the port of the city of Ephesus. So this is a working map, and if you don't have a map right now, obviously these are just kind of words here, but we understand some of the detail in all this. And so he didn't want to go back to Ephesus. That was a church he'd spent 3 years at, but he knew, if I go back to Ephesus, I won't be able to make the calendar date to get to Pentecost. So I want to meet with the elders, that'd be the pastors, and talk to them and encourage them in the Lord. But I don't dare go to the church because the people will embrace me and want me to stay, and they'll give me meal after meal, and you gotta stay one more day. And yeah, so anyway, he needed to make that trip. And so he asked the elders, somehow he got the message to the elders, you travel 40 days to meet me, because I want to give you some biblical counsel. And so he does that. Luke never mentioned how the delegation of 9 men financed the ship fare. What they do, just jump on a ship. Hey, free ride, man. Free ride, is this right? They had to, somehow they had to finance this. So no captain of a ship would say, oh, we got some men want to jump on here, they want to be dropped off here, and no big problem. That's not how it worked. You got to pay the fare. What's the fare? Remember when Jonah, he had the right fare to get on the ship to go where he wanted to go. He had to pay the fare. So Luke doesn't mention that. Why didn't he mention that? there's no big problem for these men, and there's no big problem for the Lord. Mm-hmm. They had the money. They had the faith. I remember Paul was supported by the Philippian church, one of the churches that he financed earlier. And by the way, later on, he indicated here in chapter 20, if you look in chapter 20 in your Bible here, in verse 35, I don't have this written down, but if you 20 verse 35 in this very chapter, Paul says, I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. So Paul made tents, so he made enough tents, but he also made the money that he made. He says in the previous verse, yea, you know yourselves know that these hands, tent-making hands, have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. So when Paul worked with the tent-making ministry, brought money in, he not only used that for himself, but for the men that were traveling with him. So it must have made some pretty good money there, but they had to pay the fare, but Luke doesn't even mention this. Why doesn't Luke mention this? Because somehow the Lord supplies all the needs of these church planters, and it's no big deal. If you serve, the Lord will take care of you. The Lord finances his work. The Lord finances this church. I use human elements, obviously, but he finances his work. And so, what's Scripture say here in Philippians 4:19, by the way, while we're on the point? Philippians 4:19. The maybe a verse many of you have memorized, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So the Lord supplies our needs. Amen. How many of you have food at home? Mm-hmm. Water at home? How many of you have clothes on right now? Everybody does. That's good. All right. So the Lord supplies our needs, right? Right. He does that. Now he's talking to church members at this point, but he supplies the needs. And of course, the Lord's work is supported by tithes and offerings, as Malachi chapter 3 says. All right, so here we have verse 15, and now we see in verse 16, for Paul had determined to sail by Ephesus because he would not spend the time in Asia, for he hasted, if it were possible for him, to be at Jerusalem the day of Pentecost. So he's got less than 50 days. Clock is ticking. He needs to move through these ports, and he needs to spend time with the Ephesian elders. And so he does. So notice here the commentary on this. The Apostle Paul was the leader of the group as he had appointed the meeting. So number one, we saw he'd already planned. I'm walking, you take the ship, and we'll meet. He appointed the meeting. Azos, and now he determined to visit with the elders at Ephesus. He has spent 3 years in the Ephesian Baptist Church, and now to exhort the elders or pastors. The Spirit impressed on him a quick visit because he wanted the opportunities to deliver financial contributions to the Jerusalem church. So remember, he went around to the Gentile churches and challenged them to give contributions to the Jerusalem church, because the Jerusalem church was poor. And who made the Jerusalem church poor? He did, when he was Saul of Tarsus. And now he's gaining money to give back to the Jerusalem church. So he's correcting that as a believer now. And so the Gentile churches were giving money to the Jewish church at Jerusalem. And he had an offering, a financial contribution to take back to the Jerusalem church. So we see Paul was very careful with his money. He worked, he made tents, he took care of himself, he took care of others that were helping him, and he also had a contribution to take back to the Jerusalem church, and he makes it very clear in Romans chapter 15, he never took from the contributions to support himself, nor did he take fair money out of the contribution. That the total contribution went back to the Jerusalem church. He's very clear on that. Anyway, we see that he wanted to get there by AD 57, so he had less than 50 days to do that. Verse 6, he said, after the Feast of Unleavened Bread, so that's back in verse 6, he needed less than 50 days to arrive at Pentecost, 50 days. So the 50 days start from the feast all the way down here, 7 weeks of seven, that'd be 49 days. And then the next day was the 50th day. Pentecost means 50th day. So he wanted to get there, so he knew the calendar. So Luke gave the significant and close chronology of the journal, of his journey, rather. So as Luke is going through this, the detail here, and later on in the book of Acts, he had 5 days from Neapolis to Troas. So that was a ship ride just across the Asian Ocean here, just a short trip. It took 2 days to get there, but took 5 days to get back because of the winds. So Luke records that, 5 days on the ship to get back to Troas in Asia. And then 1 week at Troas, then 4 days travel to Miletus, so every day from these three other ports, at least 7 days sailing from Miletus to Tyre, so Tyre be over there on the coast of Israel, that's sail across the ocean there, Mediterranean Sea. And then 1 week at Tyre, so he spent time at Tyre, the city where he planted a church. And then several weeks from Tyre to Caesarea, where he planted another church, Peter planted a church there. And so he didn't dilly-dally. That's a theological expression. Don't dilly-dally in life. All right, so anyway. Then in verse 17, and from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And so the elders, this is one of the words for a pastor, bishop, elder, pastor. So most people here call me pastor, but I am also elder. I'm also a bishop. We have three elders, pastors, bishops in our church. All right, so these are different terms that bring out different ideas here. Elder brings out at least maturity, if not age. So anyway, Paul summoned the elders to make the 40-mile trip to meet him. The Lord emphasized three significant first-century Baptist churches, namely the Church of Jerusalem at Antioch. So at Antioch, remember, Antioch was a Jewish church, but it sent men out to reach Gentiles, because the Great Commission is for all. And then finally, the Ephesian church. The Ephesian church was a significant church. Now, there are many others, but these are three significant churches where the Lord did amazing things. Now, remember, these two books by Luke, that's Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts, is written to one man named Theophilus. Theophilus was a Roman official. So one man receives two books and the most words of Scripture in the New Testament by one author to one man. He receives all these words of these two books. But Theophilus was a Roman soldier or official that presumably Luke led to the Lord. And now he wants to give him more detail, which he does. So the Roman officer Theophilus, see, so remember the original audience. There's a Roman official here, and Luke is writing to him, and the scriptures get to him eventually, but he understands, okay, understand the journey here, understand what Paul's trying to do, and so he needs to recognize the importance of Gentile salvation. That's really what the great deal of Paul's mission journeys were reaching the Gentiles. So Theophilus, the Gentile, needed to find out, wait a minute, the Lord has put so much time and energy, and of course in the writing of Scripture, in several men who wanted to get the gospel to go to Gentiles. not just Jews.
Right.
And so we have, this would have been thrilling to Theophilus. Obviously, he was a saved man, a member of a local church, and he received this teaching here of the Lord's importance to get the gospel from Israel, Asia, to Europe, and we would say only to North America. So perhaps this Roman officer helped facilitate the advance of the gospel to Gentiles in the Roman world. We don't know what, how far up he was in a Roman official there, but he no doubt had a prominent position where he could get the message of the salvation of Christ out to Roman soldiers, Roman personnel, Gentiles in general, and so on. So the Lord used a significant man, Luke, to write to another significant man, Theophilus, these great truths here. And obviously, Theophilus didn't keep these books to say, no, they're all mine. I don't want anybody else to read them. No, he made them public so that we have them even today. All right, so then finally, Paul's farewell discourse to the elders demonstrated his love, concern, empathy, and doctrine, and warning, commitment, and plans. This is what we see in the rest of the book of Acts in chapter 20 as he begins his message to the elders there. So I've outlined the rest of the chapter here, but his farewell discourse showed his love for others. He emphasized the triune Godhead, God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, as his authority around these salient points. First of all, he had his meeting with the elders, his meeting. Then he talks about the ministry. Then he gives them his message to them. He warns them about a coming menace, and that is, elders among you may depart from the Lord. So it's possible pastors depart from truth.
Yes.
There are some unsaved pastors out here.
Mm.
It's possible. And he warned there, if you see this in verse 30 of Acts 20, 30, also of your own selves, elders, shall men arise speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. All right, so they were unsaved pastors back then. There's unsaved pastors today. It's all about what can I get out of a ministry. No, it's not what you can get out. It's how the Lord can use you to help others. That's
Amen.
The heartbeat of the ministry and the heartbeat of pastors.
Amen.
So anyway, and then the method, his method there in verse 32-38. All right, so Luke gave Paul's messages. And so we have three significant messages that Paul preached. There was his word of exhortation that he preached to the Jews. That's also in Acts chapter 13, 14. And then we also see the reference there in the book of Hebrews of the word of exhortation. So his message, word of exhortation. His theism message to the Athenians, who needed to know who the true God is. So a theism message. And finally, his church leader message. That's what we have in Acts chapter 20. So here we have three significant messages found in Acts that Paul preached, pertinent to the audience, to the Jews, the word of exhortation, to the unbelieving Athenians, who is the true God? The Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And to church leaders. Church leaders, this is what you are to expect in this biblical church at Ephesus. Here's the message, here's what's going on, here's my heartbeat, here's the dangers, and beware. And so we have his message here. And so this is all significant. This is extremely important. But we see who's the one who did all this. The human agent would be Paul, but who was behind Paul? The Lord. Now, Paul could have said, no, I'm not interested. Okay, the Lord's got somebody else he's going to use. He's going to accomplish his work. So he's going to accomplish his work either through us or through somebody else. But he, if he's called us to do something, we better not give that up and say, let somebody else do it. Like Moses said, let Aaron do this. No, you're going to do it, but Aaron's going to get some privilege in all of this. And so he's got a calling for us, so we don't surrender that. We accomplish this and through thick and thin, because the world hates the gospel. The world hates Bible truth. And so that's who we are. We're people been born again. We've repented of sins, trusted the Lord as Savior. We baptized after that, not for salvation, but for church membership. And the Lord has used us, and so we're thankful for that. Our Father, we pray that you bless us now. We thank you for the scriptures at hand. We thank you for the testimony of Paul and the fact that him and others through the centuries have been able to get the gospel message to us that we have heard and we have received. We pray that you might bless as the word of God goes forth, begin to work in hearts and lives. We pray for those who are being challenged by scripture, either for sanctification or for salvation. Pray that you'll bless in all this, we pray. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.